Well, we've been going through a series on Matthew chapter 5, and in Matthew chapter 5 we find the Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus. And in the Beatitudes we find the qualities of every person that is a child of God. Verse 2 there says, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, we've gone through a number of the Beatitudes, so I want to go down to verse 7 this morning. And we'll see in verse 7, the fifth Beatitude. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." A person that is merciful is one that shows love and compassion to those in need. A person that is merciful also shows forgiveness to others. And the Lord Jesus, in his ministry, he exhibited mercy and compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, the Pharisees questioned Jesus' disciples because they saw him eating with publicans and sinners. And we see a couple of verses there in Matthew 9, verse 12. Jesus' response was this: "That they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Lord Jesus showed mercy in his life. The Lord Jesus went to be with those that were despised of society, and he showed mercy and he showed forgiveness. And if you're a believer, you should show mercy and also you should show forgiveness. Every Christian should be merciful because God has shown his mercy to us. Titus 3 verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." You and I didn't deserve mercy, but God in his wonderful grace showed us mercy. He showed us love to the undeserving. And he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary for us. The next beatitude is in verse 8 there. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You remember David after his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 51, David prays this: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, in our natural state, without Christ, none of us have a pure heart. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17 verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ can purify our hearts and purify our lives when we place our faith in him. 1 John 1 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." It is possible to have changed hearts. It is possible to have pure hearts because of the death of the Lord Jesus. 1 John 1 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." James said this in James 4 verse 8, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Our hearts are purified when we come to know Christ as Saviour. Our walk, our life is purified as we follow him in obedience. Matthew 5 verse 9, the next one. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Do you know that this world is at war with God? The unsaved world is at war with God. Romans 8 verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity," or you can take that word as hostile. "The carnal mind is hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So in our natural state, we are at war with God, But the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he makes peace with sinful man. You remember at the birth of Christ, the angels announced peace and goodwill towards men. Luke 2 verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The Lord Jesus came as the great peacemaker between God and man. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace." Christ is our peacemaker. But you know, as a Christian, you have the job also of being a peacemaker. Matthew 5 verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." How are we peacemakers? Well, the chief way a Christian is a peacemaker is that we are to take the gospel of peace, the gospel of good news, out to a lost world. And when people receive the gospel, people receive the good news, and if they receive the good news that Christ has died for them on the cross and shed his blood, and they believe that message, then there is peace between God and that person. We are to be peacemakers. We are not to just be sitting in the pew of a Sunday, but we are to be out reaching people Monday to Sunday with the good news of the gospel. Romans 10 verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things." We are to be peacemakers by taking the gospel out to others. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We've got the ministry of reconciliation, that man can find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 there again, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now, after Jesus talks about the characteristics of the people of God, Jesus then begins to talk about the persecution of the people of God. You see there in verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You know, if you live a godly life today, you will be a target of ungodly attacks. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote to him about persecution. And in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, Paul said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul doesn't say might suffer persecution. Paul says shall suffer persecution. So if you are a godly person, you are going to suffer persecution. John 15 verse 18, Jesus said this, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." The Lord Jesus warned his people of persecution. There's another passage in the New Testament where Jesus spoke about persecution, and that's found in Mark chapter 13. And I think it's an important passage to go to as we continue to go through the Sermon on the Mount, because Mark 13, there the Lord Jesus speaks about different types of persecution that will happen to his people. As you read Mark 13, you find that there will be religious persecution, there will be governmental persecution, there will be household persecution, and there'll even be national persecution. And religious persecution is seen in Mark chapter 13, verse 9. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the last days here, and here he warns about these different types of persecution. Mark 13, verse 9, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten." Here Jesus is talking about religious persecution. It's sad that within the Christian denomination, there are people that will actually persecute Christians. How many missionaries have left the field because they've left their homeland and they've gone over to a far place, and on the field they've actually been persecuted, and sadly some of them have been persecuted by people in the church or people on the mission field. And there are numbers of missionaries that have left their mission fields not because of the persecution of unbelievers, but because of the persecution of people that claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus. Sad to say, but one of the biggest persecutors of the Christian church are those that claim to be Christians within the Christian church. How many people have left their ministries? Some people have had very good ministries, men and women in churches. All sorts of ministries. It'd be ministries to children, Sunday school ministries, pastoral ministries, hospitality ministries. And how many people can you think of that have been driven out of various ministries because of persecution of people within their own churches? Very sad. Well, I think some of the persecutors in the churches, the reason they're persecuting other believers, the reason why they're persecuting people on the mission field, is because they're not believers themselves. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verse 20, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew chapter 7 is a scary passage for some people, because Jesus is saying there that there are going to be people amongst the people of God and they'll say, "Lord, Lord," but they don't know him. They don't know the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus warned of religious persecution. And when you think about the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the greatest persecutors of the Lord Jesus were people from his own religion, the Jews. They were the ones that constantly tried to trip up the Lord Jesus. They were the ones that wanted to whip up the crowd against the Lord Jesus. And because of the religious leaders, the Lord Jesus, under God's hand, but the religious leaders had the Romans put Jesus on the cross. Matthew 23, verse 13, "But woe unto you," this is Jesus speaking of the religious leaders, "but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." The Lord Jesus had great criticism for those that claimed that they knew God but did not know him. Secondly, in Mark chapter 13, Jesus warned of governmental persecution. "And ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." There are governments around the world that are persecuting believers in the Lord Jesus. Open Doors Ministry is a ministry to the persecuted church. And they have a website, and you can go on their website and see the various nations that are very high up in persecution. And on their website, they state that between 50 and 70,000 Christians are in prison camps in terrible conditions in North Korea. And that's only one nation that they point out. We heard about Pakistan this morning. There are governments around the world that are persecuting believers in the Lord Jesus. And in some countries, if you stand up and say that I'm a believer, it might mean the death penalty for you or for your family. Jesus warned of household persecution. Mark 13, verse 12. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. I've heard of some people, if they become a Christian in a particular family, a particular religious circle, that their parents will actually hold a funeral. My son is dead. My daughter is dead, as far as I'm concerned, if they've become a Christian in the Lord Jesus. There are families that will just remove people from their homes if they've become a Christian. They'll cut off their inheritance, cut off all their relatives if they've trusted the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Jesus warned also of national persecution, and Jesus' own people, the Jews, have been persecuted in the past as well as in the future. Mark 13, verse 13, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." There are this national persecution of Christians. I believe now there's a wholesale persecution of Western nations taking place. Western nations have largely prospered because of the Word of God. We've largely prospered because there are people that have had faith in the Lord Jesus. There is the Protestant work ethic. Western nations have fostered free enterprise, have fostered business, have fostered the teaching of the Word of God, have allowed churches to open up, have not largely been involved in persecution of believers. But things are changing now. Things are changing even in our own nation. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, Paul talks to Timothy about avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing attacks on Western society has been the propagation of evolution. If God is not the creator, if God hasn't set the rules, then you simply have a humanistic way of thinking, and that has been so destructive in Western nations, and not only in Western nations, but also in the church. Where evolution is propagated, evolution brings disaster. And we're told, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoid profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so called. I don't know if you've heard about the Christian school up in Brisbane. The Christian college up there had a firm stand on sexual standards in their enrolment applications. 9news.com.au says on the February the 3rd, 2022, this is concerning what is called the City Point College in Carindale in Brisbane, and Newscom states this: the college asked for a declaration of faith relating to homosexuality and gender identity. God intends, this is what the Newscom quotes, God intends sexual intimacy to occur only between a man and a woman who are married to each other, the declaration stated. Living in fullness includes identifying with the gender that God bestowed upon each person in all aspects of their life, it later added. So this is 9news.com.au quoting from the documents from this Christian school. Channel 7news.com.au on the February the 5th, 2022 says this: the City Point in Carindale faced a possible review of its state funding and anti-discrimination action over the contracts sent to parents last week. The document said the college will only enrol the student on the basis of the gender that corresponds to their biological sex, and said homosexuality is sinful, like bestiality, incest, and pedophilia. This church school is in trouble because the church school has been holding to the doctrines of the Bible. It has been holding to Jesus' teaching and the Bible's teaching on human sexuality and on homosexuality, and now this church school has become a major target of the press because of their stated beliefs. Fancy being criticised for enrolling children in regards to their biological sex. So if I can unwrap that a little bit, there are those that want children to enrol in Christian schools, and they might appear to be a male. They're definitely a male, but they might choose to enrol as a female. What's that going to do for things like men and women's toilets? And what's that going to do if a teacher says, no, you're a boy, you're not a girl, you're actually a boy? This is what it's about. It's about we are seeing up there is about the destruction of Christian schools in Australia. If Christian schools cannot hold to their biblical beliefs, then they are in great trouble. And so are the students. Have you ever seen the press gather around an Islamic school and question their views on homosexuality? I want to read to you a statement from the Australian National Imams Council, dated March the 10th, 2018. And they made a statement, this various clergy from Islamic mosques, they made a statement in regards to homosexuality. They say this: the Islamic perspective is also consistent with Judaic and biblical perspectives as stipulated in the Holy Scriptures. From the Islamic standpoint, homosexuality is a forbidden action, a major sin, and anyone who partakes in it is considered a disobedient servant to Allah that will acquire his displeasure and disapproval. We are seeing Christianity under attack in our own nation. And what's happening is in Brisbane could be detrimental for every single Christian school in Australia. We need to be praying for that school and pray for a victory. It doesn't look like there's going to be a victory if you read the press, but we need to be praying for them. Homosexuality and all sexual sin is sinful. And the school is right in stating what they believe. Again, the college will only enrol the student on the basis of the gender that corresponds to their biological sex. God made male and female. So God created man in his own image. This is Genesis 1 verse 27. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. What does the ABC say? Well, God's word says that there are two sexes. The ABC has identified 58 gender options for Facebook users. That's ABC News, February the 13th, 2014. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God's word shows that there is hope. There's hope for the sexually immoral. There's hope for the homosexual. And Paul outlines right there that there were people formerly that had that type of lifestyle who were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They were washed clean because they came to know Christ as Saviour. That once was their lifestyle, but now it was not their lifestyle. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. If you are a believer for the Lord Jesus, and if you are engaged for the battle for souls, then the devil's agents are going to actually persecute you. They will slander you. They will mock you. They will lie about you. And they might even kill you. 1 Peter 4 verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Persecution of the godly is seen in the Old Testament. It is seen in the New Testament. And it is alive and well today throughout the world and even in Australia. If you are a follower of Jesus, you can expect some type of persecution. John 15 verse 19, if you are of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Let me just give you a few reasons why Christians are persecuted. Christians are persecuted because of their testimony. We are called out of darkness to be God's light in this world. Matthew 5:13 there, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are the light of the world. And when we're the light of the world, we're going to come into contact with darkness. And there's a war going today between darkness and light. And the Lord Jesus calls us to live holy lives. And if you put salt on a wound, what happens? It purifies, but it also stings. And if you're salt in this world, you'll be a purifying agent, but also there'll be a sting or an uncomfortableness to the ungodly that do not know Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. If we live a holy life, we're going to expose darkness. Another reason that Christians are hated is because of the message that we have. Many people want to work their way to heaven. Many people think that they're good enough to get to heaven. But our message is opposite. You are not good enough to go to heaven. Only Christ was. And our faith must be placed in him. Another reason is that we are called to live a life contrary to the world's values, despite the world's opinions. God's word tells us that our supreme happiness is not found in this world, but in the world to come. We're not living for this world, so our standards are different than the world's standards. I heard a story of a concert violinist, and he played a concert to a hall full of people. And after he gave this great concert, there was a standing ovation. People were so impressed with his performance. But someone noticed the face of the violinist as all the crowd was standing, and he actually put his head down and he was really sad. And someone said words like this to him, "Look at the crowd, they loved you, they're all standing." And the violinist pointed to the crowd, and there was one person that was sitting in that crowd. And he said, "They're not all happy, look at that person." And he said, "That man is my teacher. And if my teacher is not happy, I am not happy." You see, it didn't matter if he pleased the crowd. If his teacher was not happy, the standing ovation of all those people meant nothing to him. You know, it doesn't matter who you please if you don't please the Lord Jesus. The world wants you to please them, but Jesus wants you to please him. And we've got to live our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. And if you do, you can be guaranteed that you will suffer persecution, because you will not be pleasing the world. You will be pleasing your Master. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Let's be determined to please our Master, no matter what the world says. Let's please the Lord Jesus.